beautiful. Thanks for tuning in to Spell Like a Woman, the podcast, the place to be to get real. Real about your business, real about your life, and real about what it means to sell like a woman. I am Kendrick Shope, and things are about to get real in here. You need to take care of your customers or someone else will. Now, I know this may not sound like rocket science. I mean, everywhere you turn, people know you got to take care of your customers, right? Listen, today I'm going to let you in on my love life. Now, before you get all freaked out and scratch your head and think this is supposed to be a show about how to make more money and how to sell more and how to be an empowered woman, why is this Southern redhead talking about her love life? Just stick with me, because I can guarantee you at the end, you're going to have three tips to help grow that business, as well as probably laughing so hard you're going to need a tissue. So let's jump in. Look, I'm going to date myself here, but I grew up being the biggest New Kids on the Block fan. Now listen, I know a lot of you think, oh, been there, done that, but I have to tell you, I was the absolute biggest Joe McIntyre fan from New Kids on the Block. And, you know, when you're a boy band fan, you have to have a favorite, right? And like I said, mine was Joe McIntyre. Now, you know, the thing that made this really weird or really different was I'm extremely loyal. So I may have been 12 years old when I fell in love with Joe McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, but that crush, that boy band obsession continued throughout my adult life. As a matter of fact, if you fast forward 20 plus years later, if you had been a fly in my bedroom, you would have seen a very pregnant 6, 7, 8 month Kendrick pregnant watching the Today Show when New Kids on the Block announced their reunion. I literally had to go to the hospital afterwards because I was having contractions. Yes, I'm a bit freaky. So, ladies, you get what I'm saying, right? I mean, you understand what it's like to have that boy band, to have that crush. And I even pushed the envelope a little bit further. I had my room plastered with New Kids on the Block posters from ceiling to baseboard. They were everywhere, everywhere. And for those of you listening to the podcast, I've got a picture for you to take a look of me in my 8th grade banquet dress in my New Kids on the Block room. And my adorable brother was in there with me. But anyway, you know, as I said, I'm ridiculously loyal. So you fast forward 20 years when most women at this point have outgrown their boy band crush, and Joe McIntyre is still the person that my husband knows. If my wife disappears, she's gone off to chase Joe McIntyre. So much that on our first trip to New York City as a married couple, I dragged my husband to see a play that at that time, no one had heard of. That play was called Wicked. Now, most of you know Wicked went on to become an international just hit. But at that time, at least people down south hadn't heard of Wicked. And I can remember my husband saying, is this going to be terrible? What's Wicked got to do with Joe McIntyre? He was the male lead in Wicked. He was Fiero. And my sweet husband afterwards arranged it, so I got to meet Joe McIntyre. It was raining, and my husband was standing out in the rain taking pictures while I was snuggled under an umbrella with Joe McIntyre. It was a teenage dream come true. Not only did I drag my husband to see Wicked, which turned out really well because Wicked is amazing, but I dragged him to see Dancing with the Stars so we could see Joe McIntyre. I mean, you get the picture here. I'm just a wee bit crazy about this guy named Joe McIntyre. So when I was in my bedroom in Atlanta several years ago and heard that the reunion tour was coming, I knew I had to be there. I knew I needed to be front and center, first row. And last year, I got my opportunity. I had the opportunity to be first row on a New Kids on the Block at a New Kids on the Block concert, something that I had dreamed about for the previous 26 years. Front row, New Kids on the Block. I even upgraded for the backstage pass for the meet and greet for the whole 9 yards. And I took a dear friend of mine with me from Tennessee so she could fulfill her childhood dream of meeting Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block. Now, remember I said, you got to take care of your customers or somebody else will. So picture it. We're in Atlanta, Georgia. It's hot. We're all dolled up in our fanciest of clothes because we are headed to see New Kids on the Block. And we get to the arena, and we're the Georgia Dome, and we've got our VIP stuff, and we're ready to go, and I go to open the doors, and the doors are locked. It's hot. This hair will not stand in the humidity in Atlanta, Georgia for long. And I've spent hours getting ready. I flew in from Bentonville, Arkansas to see this concert. My girlfriend drove from Sweetwater, Tennessee, and here we are stuck in the humidity, and I noticed this group of women standing there. And they start running up to us saying, "Are you a Joe? Are you a Jordan? Are you a Donnie?" And I'm thinking, get away. What is this? Well, it turns out that the arena and the people having the concert decided that we needed to enter the building as VIPs in groups of 10. I didn't want to enter in groups of 10. I wanted to go with my girlfriend, who I had paid for us an extra $1,000 each to go see this concert. So I was not happy. It was hot. Needless to say, I got very vocal. I just want in. I just want in the flipping arena. So finally, they agree to let us in, and we go on our backstage tour. Now, as a seventh grader, you dream about what backstage would be like. What I can tell you is I went on the most unimpressive backstage tour I've ever been on in my life, and I've been backstage at other shows. We walked around the arena. Literally, we saw folded chairs, we saw tables, we saw nothing. They herded us like cattle through the backstage of the Georgia Dome. Not exactly what I was hoping to see on my backstage tour. Then it was time for the photo op. You know, the photo op where you get to meet your childhood idol. Now, I've had the privilege of meeting, because I'm a stalker, Joe McIntyre several times before, but my girlfriend had never met any of the band. And so we walk up there, and the band had performed, I think, 3 or 4 nights in a row, and I'm sure they were tired, but they weren't nice. Now, let me be clear. They weren't rude, but they were very much not into this meet and greet that these women had paid $1,000 extra to do. You know when someone's heart is not in it, when someone's soul is not in it? That's how it felt. Cold, staged, not excited, just check the box and move on. At this point, I was beyond disappointed, but my hopes were still high for the show. I mean, after all, that's really what we paid to see. So we take our tickets, our first row tickets, and we go and we're looking for our seats, and an usher says, "You all need to go over here." And we go over there and we can't find our seats, and an usher says, "Oh, you're on the other side." So we go to the other side, and an usher says, "You're over here," and they're literally playing ping pong with us. Finally, I find someone who is in charge of the VIPs, and I say to her, "Look, we're not having a good experience. We've been ping ponged back and forth. Where are our seats?" And the lady smiles, and she says, "Oh, well, your seat is here at the front of the stage, but your girlfriend's seat is here on the other side of the stage." Okay, at this point, I came unglued. I had paid $2,000+ for these seats, bought them together, and they're not together. I was livid. I said, how can this be? I mean, I've been to more concerts than I can count. I bought these together. Never has this happened. The lady attempted to make things right. She squeezed us into a little box seat so we could be together. But what she didn't correct, there were only 5 seats in the box seat. And because she squeezed my girlfriend in, there were now 6 people in that area. So not only did she run it for me, for my girlfriend, but for the other 4 people. Literally, one of us had to watch the show sideways so we could fit into this area. I was beyond disappointed. Turns out, we also, just as a side note, to make the night even more entertaining, shared the box with a porn star. Yes, I'm serious, a for real live porn star, but that's another story for another time. When it was over, we were supposed to get a signature New Kids on the Block stool to take home with us. There was no stool. I left deflated. I had promised my girlfriend this amazing time. We had both been fans and dreaming about this experience for years. And I had been sold a crock of bull. Not only was the event not managed correctly, not only was I an unsatisfied customer, but in our 90 seconds with our childhood idols, they weren't friendly. They were disengaged. Their heart and soul was not in it, even though, you know, 26 years later, they're pretty dang lucky to be doing what they love and making the kind of money that they're lucky making. What does this have to do with you and your business? I want you to think about your biggest fans. Think about the people who love your business, who love your brand, who love you, who love your product. Let's get real for a minute. Are you treating them the way they need to be treated? What are the tips and tricks that you need to know to turn every fan into a raving fan? To turn those people who have been following you for 26 years into an even bigger fan. You see, one event, one experience can erase a decade or two decades worth of a satisfied customer. So now, through this New Kids on the Block story, I hope you see how even one of your biggest fans can become unimpressed just like that. So unimpressed that when New Kids on the Block announced a tour in 2017, I don't even want to go. And I'm not. So there are three tips that I want to share with you today, three actionable things that you can take to make sure that you are turning your customers into raving fans and keeping them as raving fans. Tip number one, you are never too big or too busy to dot the I's and cross the T's. You have to get involved in every aspect of the business. I don't care if you're Oprah. If someone is representing you and your brand, you need to and your products, you got to make sure, absolute sure, that they're getting the experience that you expect. Tip number two, no matter how successful you are, take feedback and take it seriously. Get feedback. You know, I emailed the people who I bought the tickets through, the agency who put on this show. I heard nothing, nothing at all. Ask for feedback. Feedback can be hard, especially when things don't go well. Take it seriously and do what it takes to make it right, period. And number three, and this is something that I learned last year that is really, really important. Make sure your entire team understands the mission, the customer service mission. Don't assume that your people know and will treat your customers the same way you treat them simply by example. You need to have a customer service mission statement and make sure that every person on your team, every person who is representing your organization, your brand, your products, or your service fulfills that mission. Disney does this. They call it the Disney difference. And anybody who's ever been to Disney knows exactly what I'm talking about. No stone is left unturned. They go to millions of dollars, or they spend millions of dollars to make sure that the magic stays alive. We've all heard about the tunnels that go underneath Disney World and Disneyland and the theme park so that the magic stays alive for kids. That's the Disney difference. And that's the kind of difference that you want to make, so that you keep those fans loyal, so that you keep people raving about you. Because what happens when you don't? Word of mouth is the absolute best free advertising on the planet. Today, over a year later, I'm recording a podcast that's going to go out to thousands of people about my terrible experience with New Kids on the Block, or at least my less than stellar experience. Word of mouth matters. If they had blown me away, not only would I be doing a podcast perhaps about how awesome the show was, how great it was to relive my youth, but I probably would be going back and giving them more money. But instead, I'm choosing to spend my entertainment money elsewhere. You have to take care of your customers or someone else will. Your challenge for today is to ask yourself, how will you implement those three tips into your business? You're never too big, never too big to dot the I's and cross the T's. Tip number two, no matter what, you need to ask for feedback and take it seriously. And tip number three, make sure that you have a customer service mission and that your team knows what that is. Because how you treat people has everything to do with selling like a woman. It has everything to do with changing the conversation about how we as women succeed in this world. So your takeaway is, how will you blow your customer's mind. How will you use these three tips to not only create new raving fans, but keep those fans of 26 years loyal and raving about you, your products, and your services? I'm Kendrick Show. I believe in you and your business. It's time for you to get out there, get real, and sell like a woman.